And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome back to listening to Biggie Smalls songs until he says, today I've got the song Big Papa. I love it when people call me that. So let's see how long. Oh.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, March 8th, 2024. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and next to me, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Heyo! And over yonder, making the man...
What? making the man.
Making the magic happen. Super producer, J.D.
Hello.
Can't stand when we get off to a shitty start.
Making the man.
Ruins my entire day. Here's what's going on. Tass is expected to join us later. ATL traffic is getting the best of guy this week, man. I believe he was in a little fender bender. Everybody's okay?
Yeah.
But he's going to be a little bit later. Hopefully he will arrive for the B block. Fingers crossed.
We got his chair right here.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We got everything set up.
We're ready.
As soon as he shows up, we'll plug him in here. Going to remind you to check out yesterday's No Buffs podcast, recapping episode 2 of Yes, That Show Is Still on the Air. Had a lot of fun breaking this one down. People can't believe it. Survivor 46? What? But go check that out. No Buffs has its own YouTube feed, its own podcast feed. So go and download that bad boy where you will hear Trey and JD go song for song title when it comes to Grateful Dead and Led Zeppelin.
Dead versus Led.
That's right.
I bet that was actually a big time battle in the 1970s.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Had to have been.
Yeah.
It'll all make sense.
Never
when
the
you
twain
to
shall meet.
No.
Which
no,
do you
no.
think is more surprising that they're still making Survivor seasons? I think they're still making The Simpsons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And It's Always Sunny is in like season 20 plus, I think, at this point.
Really?
I don't know, but it feels like
I know it's still being produced. I didn't know it was that high.
Yeah.
Survivor, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it. Honestly. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
You know, reality shows, they usually have cycles, right? Mm-hmm. This one just keeps going.
Like, okay, 16 seasons.
Okay,
for,
yeah.
It's Always
wow,
Sunny.
Wow, that is a lot.
That's a lot. Sitcom? That's
yeah,
a lot for a sitcom.
Yeah. And did it go away and come back? Or did it
I don't know.
Continue?
I don't know.
Well, it's still sunny. Coming up on today's Drop podcast... JD has inspired Tass to bring back Worst of the Week.
Can't believe it.
Will we hear it and talk about it? Probably. When
maybe
Tass
maybe
shows
Monday.
Up. Yeah, we might have to save it. Trey has some 5-star Friday reviews. We're calling this the first Friday of the month.
It's one of the first Fridays
yeah, it's
of
one
the
of
month.
Them. And you know we'll get silly in rapid fire when Trey asks the bunch of us some silly questions. But the 96th Academy Awards are this weekend, Sunday night on ABC, if you care about such things. We will find out how many golden statuettes Oppenheimer is going to win. Nominated for 13. How many will it take home? Talk is a lot. Especially the big ones.
It's going to be a bunch.
Yeah, it's going to be a bunch. But we decided once again to hold our own little award show to recap last night's NBA action. I got 5 categories to present. We'll talk through the nominees. We'll try and decide on a winner. Play along in the stream team. Podcast listeners, tweet at us at NoDunksInc, or everybody can leave their thoughts in the YouTube comments. First one, best picture. Best game from last night. And let me say, 7 games decided by 7 points or less last night. All of them fairly close. 3 of them, 1 possession. So you have a lot to pick from here. There's a lot of nominees possibly. But where are you going for
best
picture?
There's a ton of nominees.
Yeah.
But just like in... the Oscars, there's, what, 10 nominees for Best
yes,
Picture?
Yes, there is.
Everybody knows what's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's Oppenheimer. And last night, Nuggets-Celtics was Oppenheimer.
Okay.
This was literally a finals preview with both teams playing well and playing hard. And it lived up completely to the hype. This one, did it end up actually being a one-possession game?
I guess not. No. It was a 6-point win, but it felt like a one possession game when Jason Tatum had a wide open look from the corner to put the Celtics ahead. Klangarewski, though, for Jason Tatum, a tough week for him, I think, beating the allegations. But you know who beat him pretty easily? Because there's none. Nikola Jokic. This guy is unstoppable. Post game, Tatum said what I've been saying for months. They never beat themselves. They're going to get a good shot every time. If Jokic gets the ball inside, he's going to shoot a hook, or he's going to somehow pass it to Aaron Gordon. Sometimes over the top, sometimes underneath. Going to be a dunk either way. And then Gordon had that other tip dunk that was incredible as well. This was back and forth the entire night. I couldn't go to sleep. Like, I watched the game, and then I just couldn't stop thinking about
the buzzing about it.
I was buzzing, baby. I felt like if I had just seen Oppenheimer, I'd just be flipping through the Wikipedia, reading how historically accurate is this. And it was the same with this game, man. Right. Checking the tweets, rewatching the highlights. This was spectacular.
Yeah, that Tatum missed three in the corner, and he did have a very rough night. That was weird because they had a fast break. I'll give the Nuggets credit; those guys got back to slow it down, but still. You know, they sort of had a 3-on-2, maybe even a 4-on-2 with someone else on the other wing. And, you know, it's today's game. You spread out, shoot the three, but they probably want that one back. You know, at that point of the game, you maybe get a little jumper there or even attack the rim, get a foul. And that was a huge, huge play. But I'm with you. It's tough not to watch that game and go, you know, this is probably an NBA Finals preview. I don't know what percentage you would put on it. I was trying to think about it. I'm like, you know, am I 80% convinced, 85% convinced? Is that way too high? I don't know. Maybe it's too low that these two teams will be playing in June. And man, if this is like a little tease of what we're going to see for 4-7 games, you know, sign me up. I mean, most basketball sickos would be well on board for this because that one was great. And I thought it would probably get your best picture. Though there are a lot of other crazy endings and
great games,
fun results. Like, look, I don't think it's going to win, but shout out to the Pistons for winning their 10th game of the season.
Yeah, more wins than the Wizards.
That's exactly right. I'm in trouble. I'm like, I don't know. Is it going to be peanuts? Is it going to be pistachios? Is it going to be a medley of nuts that I will have to take down the dust of? Because I'm calling it right now, and this is no reverse jinx. I'm losing this bet. The Wizards are going to finish with the worst record. The Pistons at least look like a competent basketball team.
They do.
They're not winning a ton, but they're in a lot more games. So that was a good win for them. And of course for Tass, who has the Pistons. I have the Wizards. DeRozan, taking over late again. You got your Bulls gear on. Closed out the Warriors. That was entertaining. That's a nominee for Best Picture.
13 ties, 22 lead changes in this game, and the Bulls' 22nd clutch win of the season. Yeah, that's the most in the league. I know what you're thinking. Are they a top 10 team since December 1st? They are.
Wow.
They are.
Wow.
You know, throw them a pizza party. 3 straight wins. Nah, they've done it before.
Another nominee. I almost went with it. Did you see the final or the ending to the Spurs-Kings game?
Oh, man, that was a weird one.
This was crazy. First off, Fox went nuts again in the fourth quarter, looking like that old fourth quarter Fox, clutch player of the year. Then he fouled out with like a minute to go, dumb foul. It was an absolute foul. Reached across. They looked at it, but it was a foul. So he's gone. Kings are down 3. Malik Monk, your sixth man of the year winner, banged home a 3 with like 24 seconds to go. It's all tied up. Pop says, no timeout. Now, they don't have Wemby. You know, Devin Vassell is playing well, though, so they don't call a timeout. And eventually, I have this mixed up because they didn't call a timeout after the Sabonis dunk attempt. Yeah, but the point is, great play by Sabonis. Collins comes to set up. Looks like he's going to come set a pick, but Sabonis, I think, calls it and realizes that he's going to flare out and just jumps the pass. Goes the other way, dunk. They're up 2 with 7 seconds to go. And then you had Vassell missing a 3. And then Sohan.
Pretty good luck.
Sohan have a decent look at an offensive rebound and a jumper. So the Kings pull it out. Playing to their competition, as they always do. But man, that was a crazy ending.
Haven't seen it yet, but that one must be anatomy of a fall. The Kings probably were down 5 with less than a minute left.
Yes.
The Spurs went out of their way to give this one to the Kings, starting with that Harrison Barnes layup. Like, he just caught the ball at the top of the key, took 2 dribbles, and like had an easy layup. Nobody was there.
Yeah. But all of that to say, as much as I like the Celtics-Nuggets pick, I'm going to go with Anthony Edwards and the takeover. And one of the greatest blocks we've ever seen in that win for the Wolves on a day where they find out that Karl-Anthony Towns is going to miss a significant amount of time. Ant said, no problem. I got you. and just went nuts in like the final 90 seconds of this game, hitting crazy shots, and then the block to give the Wolves the 2-point victory in Indiana. Like, when I'm looking at some of our awards and our categories here, maybe Anthony Edwards is the Oppenheimer here because he's his name's going to come up in a couple of these other ones. That was special though. Any thoughts on the block, on the scores to even get us into that situation? Yes, he missed a free throw, but man, he made up for it.
He missed a free throw on purpose to set right. up the block on the other end. All the pieces were there. This was a play that I showed my entire family this morning. My mom is in town. We gathered around the kitchen table just to see Anthony Edwards. I'm like, okay, look at this guy shooting the free throw. He's got yellow shoes on. Keep track of him. He's going to run back, and he's going to jump, and he's going to hit his head on the rim. Showed the girls. They started laughing. They're like, how did he jump that high? Yeah. He's like 4 feet in the air. I was like, well, it's funny you say that. He has a 48-inch vertical.
Good math, kids.
They yeah. wanted to run it back, man. Like, that's something you don't see. No. He literally hit his head on the rim. He basically hit his armpit on the bottom, like foam yep. of the backboard, then has an incredibly hard anatomy of a fall.
Oh!
He goes down hard and pops up immediately.
Yeah.
Unfazed. And then in his post game, he's like, yeah, my head hurts from hitting it on the rim. My wrist hurts. I landed on it. That's the highest I've ever jumped in my life. His haircut is getting shorter and shorter, and he's assuming his final form.
Wow.
Will he be D-Wade, or will he go completely bald?
Michael Jordan style.
Yeah. I was thinking Ron Harper.
Okay, well, incredible. And again, all the attention's going to be on the block. It's going to come up in another category here. But the shots he was hitting, too, to give them this opportunity was incredible. 44 points on the night for Ant. Again, in a day where it's like, oh, God, the clouds have come over Minnesota. Holy crap. Carl Anthony Towns, he's definitely out, you know, for a month at least. So then to turn around and have this type of performance from your other, I mean, really your lead superstar and your younger guy and the future of your franchise. That's something special.
He took 35 shots.
Woo!
He's like, this team is getting on my back tonight. Let me just do a little math here. Anthony Edwards averages basically 20 shots a game. Carl Anthony Towns averages 15 and a half shots a game.
Hmm.
So Ant just took them all.
Yeah, I'll take them.
No Towns, I'll take them.
Yeah, I got them. So again, lots of nominees there for Game of the Night. Let's move on to our second category. It's Best Actor. This is the best individual performance. I think five nominees jump out right away. Ant, obviously, with the 44 and what he did. Jokic with another triple-double. Luka with a monster triple-double. Sabonis with the triple-double. And then DeRozan, who just, again, like I said, took over against the Warriors. Who gets best actor?
Did Open you say Jaylen Brown?
I didn't, in a loss, but he was pretty special.
He was the Celtics' best player last night.
I didn't love 7 of 14 at the free throw line in a very close game.
At least he took 14.
Yeah. Okay, throw him in a nominee. Who
he is definitely a nominee for me, but I mean, this is Jokic. He won the MVP last night. I think it's over.
It's a wrap.
Yeah. When we talk about playoff series and teams are very like close in each other, you kind of default to whoever's got the best guy is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it is with the Nuggets because they've got the best guy. They're going to get a good shot every single time. We talked about earlier, at one point he had a double spin. And then he drops it off for Aaron Gordon for a dunk because Porzingis is reaching up.
Mm-hmm.
Next time he has a double spin, throws it over the top to Aaron Gordon for the dunk. Jokic had his own dunk in this game in a half court. He's got more triple-doubles than dunks the past two seasons. That's just a great stat that I saw on the TNT broadcast. So Jokic is the best actor here because that guy is just literally the best player that's out there right now.
20th triple-double of the season, 32, 12, and 11. He went 11 and 19 from the floor. He went 10 of 10 at the line. He didn't have a turnover. Team high 39 minutes. Think about that. The ball goes through him every play.
Every play.
Every single play. And he's making very difficult passes, and he doesn't register a turnover. Fifth time, he's recorded a 30-point triple-double without committing a turnover. Statitude says no other player has recorded more than one such game in NBA history since they started tracking turnovers in the late 70s. He's got five of them. 30-point triple-double games with zero turnovers. That's really wild. And yes, he winning my best actor as well. Luka right there. They needed that win too. And now he's been kicking ass.
Five straight triple-doubles with 30 or more points. Never been done in NBA history. And they finally won this one.
Yeah, they needed this. It's a huge win for them. Kidd revamped the starting lineup. Gafford, Jones Jr. in there for Lively and Green. it didn't really work. They were down 15, but obviously they found their footing, and yeah, he picked up another triple-double, his 15th of his season, 71st for Luka in his career. He ranks 9th in NBA history. He's in his 6th year. I love this quote from Kidd. "We can't take that young man for granted. You're seeing something as rare as a Picasso."
Wow.
Now, I know we just gave Jokic, wow, the best actor, handed the envelope and the statue to him, but that sounds like a speech that somebody would say about...
Something as rare as a Picasso.
Something
huh?
as rare as a Picasso. Mm. That's Luka. So those two, I don't think you can go wrong with either of them because, again, both in victories. But, yeah, we both are ultimately going with the Joker. The Joker. Did the Joker win any... Oscars? Was it nominated for anything back in the day?
I feel like it was. Nominated for Best Picture, maybe.
I think
Phoenix
right.
may have been nominated, too. Is that possible for
it's
Best
possible.
Actor?
It's possible.
I don't think he won.
Let me check.
Okay. Okay.
Move on to the next one.
Moving on.
Tremendous.
Let's go to Best Supporting Actor. This is the best performance from a role player. Who do you have?
I got a couple of nominees for you. Peyton Watson, I think, has to get a nominee.
I like him.
This was one of... my favorite games I've seen him play. I thought his athleticism was huge. Guarding Tatum helped influence him into having a tough game. Also scored a little bit, hit a three. I thought he almost had an Anthony Edwards-like fall at one point. It seemed like he was just going to go a little too crazy. I think DeAndre Jordan has to get a small vote for how he reacted to Aaron Gordon's tip dunk.
That's good. He loves to do that, eh?
Oh,
he loves
that was
to do
so
the
good.
Fall over, catch me.
The biggest guy on the team and doing trust falls.
Yeah, that's right.
Vooch. I don't know if you consider him a role player.
Yeah. He's not the star player.
Yeah, exactly. 33 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Hit a clutch 3. Hit some free throws to help ice the game. But ultimately, I'm giving the award to Grayson Allen. Hit 7 threes in the first quarter of this game. A Phoenix Suns record. The Raptors just had a game where they gave 10 three-pointers up to Trey Murphy III.
Yeah, we did.
A little too much help, I think, from the Raptors. If somebody gets inside, there's 5 guys in the paint. You just easily kick it out, and it was Grayson Allen doing it from outside last night.
Yeah, new defensive strategy here from the Raps. There's no way they can make all of these threes. No way. Just leave them wide open. Yeah, he was on fire. This is the second game in a row he's been on fire. He became the first player in Suns franchise history to make 8 or more three-pointers in back-to-back games. This guy's unbelievable. Yeah, he said 7 in the first quarter. He only finished with 8, so the Raptors... found him out there on the perimeter as the game went on. But I had a tweet up the other night, and it was like really no shade against Bradley Beal because he's had injuries and stuff like that. But I compared the numbers to what Grayson Allen has done this year to what Beal has done for a sixth of the cost when you compare their contracts, you know? It's wild. Like, it's just one of great find here for the Phoenix Suns. Grayson Allen is going to be important for Phoenix in the possibility of winning a playoff series or moving deep into the playoffs. Like, he has to, like, you know, not every night, but to win these series, you can see, like, oh, there's going to have to be 2 games out of a series or whatever where Grayson Allen hits 5 to 8 threes because they're going to leave him because you have no choice. But he was special. He got my best supporting actor as well. And like you had just said the other night, there's no one you hate more seeing light up your team. And so I experienced it. Grayson Allen and his frickin' face just cooking us. And there's nothing you can do about it.
And he's extra tan right now.
Oh, I know.
Makes it worse.
It does.
Somehow
it does.
Makes
you
it
knew
worse.
He was having a blast over All-Star Weekend. There was a big uproar. Why isn't Grayson Allen in the three-point contest? I didn't hear him say one thing. He's like, nah, I want to go hit the beach
I'm
for
at
a
the
week.
Beach, babe.
I don't look mad tanned. And then light your asses up after the break. So, good pick, but I like your nominees as well. All right, next one here. I think we're going to circle back to something we talked about. Best live-action short film. Highlight of the night.
I mean, we just got to roll the ant block.
Yeah, JD, you can throw it here. Thank you for showing some restraint earlier in the show. Because here it is for everyone on YouTube. My lord, the fall is scary, but he bounces right back up and gives a nice flex scream. And that was... a game-saving block. I mean, Smith maybe hits it, and my God, did he get so high and hits his head. And, you know, we already talked about it a little bit, but wow. Do you think he was joking when he said, I've never jumped that high in my life? I don't know if he was. Yeah, because he also is sort of, like, catapulted up a little bit. I think it's McDaniels there, right?
Boosty.
Yeah, it's like it's Tom Chambers-esque off his dunk when he sort of, like, you know, catapulted up Mark Jackson there.
Yeah.
So that's sort of happening here, but it's just, that's one of the best blocks. I don't know. I know it's always, like, tough to remember them, but over the last, at least 5 years, 10 years maybe. If it's in a playoff game, I mean, then it's probably on the short list of greatest blocks of all time. Yeah, regular season, maybe it gets forgotten a little bit, but could be one of the highlights of the year, I think.
Oh, absolutely it is. Yeah. And, I mean, Edwards has had a lot of really great dunks in his career.
Yes.
But this is up there for him for, like, best highlights of his career, and it's just an unforgettable thing to see a guy rocket that high into the air, land so hard,
holy
just pop
crap.
Up to flex instantly.
You
like
almost,
he body slams Aaron Nesmith, basically.
You almost wish... His head, well, it's cool because his head hits the rim, and that's really unique for a guy that's 6'4". But, like, I wish that rim wasn't there for a second. How high would he have kept going? Like, a part of me thinks he would have just, like, held onto the top of the backboard. Yeah. It's just the game ends, and he's just, like, waving up there or something. It is very similar to a Michael Jordan clip from way back in the day. Young Jordan playing for UNC. I don't know if you've seen this going around, where Jordan has a similar block. His head hits the rim. He's a little phased. I think Jordan does it with his right hand. Ant's doing it here with his left. But go seek that out. You'll probably see it on Twitter because that's where I saw it. Man, the side-by-side, the athleticism from these guys, it is, whoo, it's eerily similar, I would say. But what a play.
It is absolutely Jordan-esque. And, like, he said things like along the lines of, if you give me 3 weeks, I'll be good at anything. Let's see if he can do the high jump at the Olympics. Right, like he'll be there for Team USA. Let whoever their high jumpers are, just teach him a little bit. Because he can obviously fly. He just got to learn the technique to do the Fosbury flop.
Well, which one's he going to do? I mean, there's different strategies to
jump
over the bar.
Oh, there is different strategies now.
Arch over, you could go forward. He might just like straight up, you know, scissor kick it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that idea though. That should be a cool, like... Anthony Edwards probably going to be on Team USA basketball, but like, let him go in every event.
Let's see what he can do.
Just see where he places in every event at the Summer Olympics.
Put him in the decathlon. He might be good. Who was the guy from Team USA, like Ashton Eaton or something like that? I don't know. Mm. They had a decathlete, but long gone are the days of Dave versus Dan.
Yeah. You know, Canada has some very good
True.
We might have the gold medal winner, actually, from the last one. But I love that idea. Put Ant in everything. Just see how he does. And, like, I love the idea. Like, just give him 3 weeks. Like, all summer, you just practice all these events.
Just try.
See how he goes. And something to go along with Ant and that highlight. I saw Zilla write about this. This idea that he's just, like, he just reeks of superstardom. Just of his personality. And Ziller wrote it like this. I thought it was spot on. Ant knows that jumping so high, you almost knock yourself out on the backboard to get a block is cool as hell. And he embraces it. The nexus of athleticism, joy, and cool is universal. Everyone can love this.
Everyone loves it, man.
It's spot on. Ziller nailing it there. It's like one thing to do it, and then how he reacts about it makes it even cooler.
Totally.
Right?
He missed the tip-off of a game this week. And everybody's like, that's awesome, man.
Right. We've probably taken a dump.
Yeah, exactly. And he just skates. Nobody cares because he does stuff like this. Yeah. And then, like, he also owns it when he makes mistakes, right? He's like, yeah, I got to be better. I was brutal.
Yeah.
But he wasn't brutal last night.
No.
The only other, I think, possible nominee was that Aaron Gordon tip dunk. He pulled that way back, man. Came out of nowhere, cocks it back. The overhead looks crazy. And then DeAndre Jordan, rest in peace.
Aaron Gordon had two incredible dunks, I thought, in this game. I didn't even see his first dunk from the first half where he skied for a reverse alley-oop.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray threw that way too high. Not for him.
Yeah.
He went so high and then reversed it. I didn't even see it on the top 10 list.
It didn't make the top 10 list.
No, and then, you're right. The reach back, way low putback dunk in the fourth quarter with like 2 minutes to go off a Jokic rare miss. That's definitely a fair nominee. Asar Thompson had a huge dunk on Dennis Schroeder.
He was so high up in the air that it looked like goaltending.
I know.
Did Wiseman make that?
Yeah.
No, it was Thompson coming down.
He ragdolled Schroeder, I saw someone say. Schroeder's under the rim trying to go for the rebound, and he just like went 10 times higher. So some great plays from last night, but everybody, I assume, taking Ant's block at the end. All right, final one. Just because we did it last time and it made me laugh. Best costume design. Who had the best jersey or look from last night?
Mm.
Where are you going?
You know, I didn't think it was a great collection of jerseys last night, if I'm being quite honest.
I think I love the Wolves classic edition jerseys. I love these ones that obviously we just watched the highlight in.
Yeah, white on the road.
White on the road, yes, but that's common.
That's common.
Almost every team is doing that now. But I love how crisp these look, and I love the Wolf logo on the shorts. They wore these from 89 to 96, so you start thinking of, you know, Sam Mitchells and Pooh Richardsons and Tom Gugliottas and Leitners.
I do not think of Sam Mitchell.
And Tony Campbell. Remember that guy?
No.
That guy was a bucket.
Tony Campbell?
Yeah, a guy averaged like 23 points per game in their first season ever when they were garbage. They never won in these jerseys. That's my favorite part. Because this is before Garnett showed up, and then they changed them. And I think their best record was a 29-win team. But when you got Ant wearing them, and obviously a good team, I like those. So I will give best costume design to the Wolves Classic. But could you make a case for anyone else?
Bulls Road Reds. Okay, they're a top three jersey in the league, and they're road jerseys, which they wore. I also like the Pistons wearing their classic whites at home. Fine by me.
Those are nice.
But I'm giving a Razzie. Got to give a Razzie here, Skeets, to the Nuggets 52-80. Versus the Celtics whites on the road.
Yeah, it's...
I'm with you. I usually don't care about white on the road, but, like, this is a finals preview. Wear some good jerseys.
Right.
The Nuggets have a lot of good ones, but not that one.
It's a great point. If this is the finals preview, if they meet in June, we're going to have clips of, like, them playing this year, and we're going to have a stupid 5-2-8-0 on one of these teams, and then this, white, you know, weird Boston jersey, which I don't hate, but to wear it on the road, I guess, is a little weird. I can't stand the Nuggets. We talked about it at the time, the altitude branding and just a number on their jersey. It's silly. So that's a Razzie. Yeah, okay. They still do that? Did the Razzies?
Oh, hell yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Did we ever find out about
Joker.
The Joker movie?
Joker, 11 nominations.
Whoa, baby.
What?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Did it win?
No, but it Joaquin won for Best Actor.
Oh, so it did win. I consider that a win for the movie, but that's a big
one. It's a
one
win
too.
But it won two Oscars, actually, that and original score.
Oh, okay.
But as, you know, as Trey just said about the uniforms, not a great crop of nominees, I don't think, year, 2020.
No, that's true.
You'll never get... Anyways, crop. I was going to say, you want to guess who was nominated, but forget it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go ahead. Who was nominated? There's five nominees. Joaquin won. He was one of them.
This is 2020?
2020.
Oh, God. I used to be good at this. Now I'm horrible. I don't even know where to start. I can't tell you when movies came out.
I don't know
any
movies.
All right, just give it to us.
Okay. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Leonardo DiCaprio was nominated.
I just watched that. That's good.
Adam Driver for A Marriage Story.
Oh.
I think he should have won over Joaquin, but what do I know?
Okay. A lot of memes.
Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory. Never heard of it.
Just, either have I.
Antonio Banderas. Too sexy.
And finally, great actor Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes. I mean, I've heard of that.
Oh, I have watched that.
You watched it?
Yes, I did.
So he's the older, he's
he
the
good.
Guy.
Yeah, that's it's a good movie. I did like that movie.
Okay.
Wow.
Who's that? Jude Law in that?
Yeah.
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 So
Jude Law loves playing popes.
He was in that and Young Pope?
I think he was. Yeah.
Oh, maybe am I maybe confusing it? I might be confusing it.
It sounds right though. Two Popes is it called?
Just loves playing
the
popes.
Two Popes. Yeah.
It's gonna get a little weird. Two Popes.
No, yeah, maybe it was just the new Pope Jude Law was
in. Oh, the new Pope.
Who the hell was the other Pope then? I'm looking it up.
Contavious?
Did he play both popes? Is that how he got nominated?
Both popes? Two popes?
Both popes.
Two popes sitting courtside at a Skyhawks game near you. Anthony Hopkins was also in Two Popes.
Oh, okay, okay.
He must have been a pope.
He must have
he
been.
He was definitely a pope. Yeah. Yeah, those were the two popes. That's
okay.
Who it was.
Okay.
It was Hopkins and it was Price.
All right, anyway.
We got the new pope all mixed up there. Jude lost. That's sexy pope.
That's yeah,
like
that was
cigarette
a sexy
smoking
pope.
Oh,
pope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a funny show. I forgot about that. All right, we'll call it there. We're going to take a long break. So we're still
He's here.
Oh, Jesse's here. Fantastic.
All right, nice. We got to put this mic in.
Yeah, so when we come back, we'll put the mic in. We'll get a chair. We'll put Tass right there. We'll do Five Star Friday, and we'll do Worst of the Week nominees. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, we're back here in the Classic Factory.
Yes, we are.
Wow.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. You okay? Everybody's okay?
Oh, everybody is good. Everybody is
just
good.
Just a classic little fender bender?
Yeah. We could choose better decisions out there, I'd say. A lot of us.
Okay.
I can blame it on me being stubborn, being late, making a slightly aggressive move. Mm. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. But
you'll take some of the blame.
Yeah, I should.
Okay.
I should. Absolutely. Although, you know. Anyways, yes. But anyways, I was enjoying the show.
Okay.
Was I YouTubing and driving? No.
No.
But it was entertaining. It was an entertaining night, was it not?
It was.
What a night of basketball.
Yeah, very good.
It was great. Well, we missed you in the A block. We got you here for the B block.
You want to give all your opinions on those categories?
Do we get any wrong?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
A lot of ants out there.
We needed you here for this block, though, because it's the return of Worst of the Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Worst of the Week.
Multiple nominees. You guys will tell me who the worst is.
Okey-doke.
First one, Chet Holmgren got hit in the face. Mm. Very, very tough hit from Yusuf Nurkic, who knows about getting hit in the face himself. And unfortunately, Chet Holmgren didn't receive a call or anything. He just received a black eye. It was a terrible, terrible hit. It's just a loose ball. Yusuf Nurkic goes for it and just smacks the heck out of Chet Holmgren's face. It's an elbow to the eye. Chet Holmgren laid on the ground for a while, complained to the referee. Come on. Can you give me a call?
Wow.
As he received a black eye that was there for multiple games.
Yeah.
But this guy is absolute nails. He fights through every single injury over and over and over again. He also had a huge Charlie horse type injury this week, but he just kept fighting through it. So there's that one. I think that one's could be the winner.
But, I like it.
He's got nailed.
Yeah, he did get nailed.
Now he hasn't missed a game this season. Obviously missed his full rookie year, but he hasn't missed a game through 62. Because I saw something about him commenting on Mikal Bridges and his Iron Man streak.
Huh.
He's like, holy crap. Respect to that guy. Whatever Bridges is at, like over 300, I think. But maybe Holmgren one day will catch him.
Yes. Again, Mikal Bridges does it again this season. So yeah, his comment was, how does he do that every year? I mean, he fights through stuff like that.
Yeah, that's
like,
the answer is you got to play through injuries like that.
Yeah, show to Filthy on Discord who suggested that one. Because that was something that kind of flew under the radar.
Yeah,
for a guy getting that popped and then that
hardly popped. And then he went and complained to the referee, and nothing happened. Again, Yusuf Nurkic, who was popped by Draymond Green earlier this season, suspension, popped well, him. I mean, oh, yeah.
A little different.
I'm not saying
yeah.
it's a suspension. I'm just saying it's a tough hit.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Second nominee, lumping a couple together here. Two defensive flubs.
Okay.
When a guy was guarding a ball handler in two different scenarios. Jordan Wara was guarding Brandon Ingram and literally just got spun. Oh, yeah. That is a ring around the rosy, put into the dryer kind of thing. It really is. He's Whoa. On his feet the whole time and starts looking at a different direction, gets spun. Second one here, Evan Mobley gets dropped by a beautiful in-and-out dribble by Miles McBride. Clean drop. Doesn't step on anyone.
That is so nice.
Such a sick angle.
And it's not an injury because Evan Mobley did get injured later on in this week with that ankle injury. Mm-hmm. But that one didn't injure him. But when you get a clean drop, like he didn't step on anybody.
Yeah.
That was just a
There's
beautiful...
no slip or anything. Yeah, that is... That is the definition of you got crossed up.
Yeah.
His legs basically crossed up because of that incredible in-and-out dribble.
Yeah, we could have gone with either one as a nominee separately, but I wanted to put them together because the Jordan Wara one for the Toronto Raptors, that's just a good one. And I needed to get Miles McBride. That's a beauty dribble. When you see an in-and-out like that, that's just pretty, pretty stuff. And again, something that kind of flew under the radar a little bit too much, IMO. So we had to get him in there.
Nice one.
Shout out to Jay Skeets. You put on one on Twitter there, and my man Amit Mann for the suggestions. Just great suggestions out there. Our first time Worst of the Week back. People were just so excited to get angry and
grumpy. I'm hyped to have this back.
This is good.
You know why this is good? Because some of the stuff goes under the radar, like you
it
said.
It really does.
You bring it back on a Friday. Remind everyone.
This last one, not under the radar. Ben Simmons' season is over due to a nerve impingement in his lower back. The back has been a problem for seasons now. He only played in 15 games this season because of it. He's played an average of 19 games for the last three seasons because of the back, because of mental issues as well. And I think it's clear, even if Ben Simmons does come back, that we have seen the best of Ben Simmons. Now, I'm not sure how much more we're going to see Ben Simmons in his career. He has one more year under his contract. And because the back problems just ain't going away, I think that's fairly clear. My question for you guys, you know, when the career is over, whether it's a year, two, three, what will you remember Ben Simmons as? Because he has had some good seasons. Totally. But where we are right now is, what the heck is going on with that situation where he's gone? It's been such a roller coaster from an all-star to this.
Yeah. For me, he is NBA Chuck Knobloch. Like, he was a great player. Chuck Knobloch was a four-time all-star. A gold glover. He gets traded to the Yankees. They say him and Derek Jeter are going to be the best double play combination of all time. But then he got the yips. He hit Keith Olbermann's mom in the face with the baseball in the crowd. And he was literally never the same. And that to me is the definition of Ben Simmons. He was a great player. Three-time All-Star. First team All-Defense. Number one draft pick. Like, outside of LeBron, he was maybe the most athletic guy in the league for a while. And then he lost it, and he's just never been able to get it back. You throw in the back injury stuff. He's getting older now. He'll be 28 in the summer, so 29 by the time his contract is over. I don't assume his back will be getting better as he gets older. That's not how it usually happens. That's just how it feels to me. A guy who could have been an all-time great who kind of goes down as an all-time cautionary tale.
It's a good one.
Well put, man. I just wonder 10, 15, 20 years from now, Will people, when you think of Ben Simmons, will you even remember that stuff that Trey's saying? Like, that he was an all-star and that he was an all-NBA player, that he finished second in defensive player of the year, that he was this athletic freak that could grab the ball off the board, push it, could see the floor. I just wonder if we'll even remember that, or it will be, unfortunately, oh man, that guy. Remember when he held out, but then he was all injured, but did he really have a love for the game? And like, that, those will be what people, unfortunately, or whatever, however you want to call it, we'll think of. Probably myself included, if I'm being honest. Because what a... Like, it's... And it's the strangest part about all of this is it, like, it felt like it happened in that one play. The one play where he doesn't shoot it and tries to pass it, obviously, in the postseason. And it was just like... It's like a sliding doors thing. If he just dunks it or puts it in, it's like, will any of this ever happen? I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
Possible to say, but it's very odd that is the impetus for sort of his career than just going off a cliff. I don't even, I'm not sure we'll ever see him play again. That's the thing. I know he's under contract, but I mean, he's played like a handful of games here over 3 years. He's played like 60 games over 3 years at this point. So we'll see. And he's not young. In my head, I still think of him as young.
Yeah.
But he's been around for a long time and, you know, didn't play his first year. So there's that whole year. But yeah, 28. I mean, he's in his prime.
And he doesn't necessarily have a game that is going to age well.
No.
Anyways, he was never able to figure out how to shoot a jumper.
No.
Was never had the confidence to really take threes. So it's those are things you need as you age as an NBA player.
Or even put pressure on the rim enough to then get to the free throw line because he wasn't confident there. Like, yeah, that's a great point. It's not like the game is going to veer back to you know, to someone like Ben Simmons, where it's like, you got to shoot. You can't even play if you can't shoot.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing he really can't do or doesn't feel comfortable to do, at least unless his shirt is off and it's in the off season and he's in a gym and there's a camera. Then he never misses. But different in the NBA game.
A little different. Yeah. It was literally a question. Should the 76ers split up Simmons and Embiid? Who should they build around? Yeah. Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid?
Holy. It's true.
No longer the case.
No.
They chose right.
Yeah, and he, I guess, started his career at the right time, because you're totally right about guys who can't shoot had a life years ago. But now it's far different. Even when he's out there the season with Nick Claxton, with another guy who can't shoot, and it's usually a center, you just can't play them anymore. It's just a changed game because of that. So it just makes it difficult to play him. So the Brooklyn Nets go into next season. They have him under contract for 1 year. But they're looking at it, and I'm sure talking to both medical people, his agent, and seeing if he will come back, because they could use that money. Unfortunately, it does come down to money under the cap for somebody else, or as a disabled player exception, as you know, the CBA is written for somebody who can't play. I was looking for the Chuck Knoblauch comparison is good, because somebody made that in the last month for another player, and I know it came up for Simone Biles when she couldn't get out there,
right? The yips, sort of.
But she came back and was freaking incredible again. But this is, you know, this is Rick Ankiel or whoever. Yeah. This is feels like the end of a really, really, really great player.
How many 3-pointers do you think Ben Simmons hit in his career in the NBA? Again, he played for, let's say, I mean, I know they weren't full season, some of them, but like 6 years here.
I remember we talked the heck out of it when it happened. So it was one, I think it was two in one game, or maybe it was two in a week or something.
Three total?
You guys are close. He's got five total made threes in, you know, 300 plus games.
How many attempts?
36. That's the more glaring number, if we're being honest. It's one thing to not be able to hit them. It's in today's game, you got to at least be the threat to even shoot them. 36 3-pointer attempts. His most was in his rookie season when he didn't even hit a three. He went 0 for 11. It's just wild to see that. Because, like, I don't know, you could go through a lot of guys' box scores on Basketball Reference in today's game over the last couple of years, and I'm talking centers, power forwards, anybody. They're going to have more than that. Most of them.
Yeah.
99% of the guys. Crazy.
What will I remember him for is the couple threes that he hit. Why I'm saying two is because I feel like...
Did he have a game where he hit two?
He hit one. It was because it was coming back from the season off, the break after the season or something. Or maybe it was from an injury where he just came back and he hit a three and people wondered, is this it?
He never had a game where he hit two.
Oh, yeah.
He had a couple games where he attempted to. Maybe that's what you're thinking about. I guess before we move off it, what do you think his career high in a game is?
Oh, he had a monster. Points. He had a monster when Embiid was out that time. Embiid was injured.
They went on a great run.
Yeah, it was like 16 straight wins.
Like Marco Bellinelli running the break with them.
Yeah. Embiid was 35.
No. It was like 40 something in Utah. I remember that.
Wow, you're calling it. It was in Utah, in a loss, and it's in the 42 or something.
42.
Hey, that's impressive. Holy moly.
Well, because we all wondered.
Yeah.
And like Trey brought up, will this team go the route of Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons?
Yeah, if they have to pick.
Because he can't be out there with guys who can't shoot, with guys who are playing the lane. And maybe he entered the league at a good time, because it's a different time now. Can we name another guard? I mean, Russell Westbrook is gone now, at the end of his career. But can we name a guard who plays anything like Ben Simmons
in today's game.
Markel Fultz.
Sure,
probably. But I mean,
better shot.
He shoots. Yeah, I mean that he forgot how to shoot.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's not
and
bad.
He's taken 279 threes
right,
in his career.
Right.
Wow.
I mean,
wasn't ready for that.
It's glaring how low those Simmons numbers are. Like, yeah. That is truly like we're that's like. I don't know, two Steph Curry games when you're talking attempts. Like 36 or whatever I said. That's nuts. So who wins Worst of the Week? Obviously the nominees being Chet and his poor face. He had those defensive whoopsies there from Nwora and Mobley. And then yeah. Ben Simmons' season / career being possibly over.
I think it's Chet. The fact that I you know, it's cheap to lump two great drives together.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not that one for sure, but it's
not that one.
I think it's Ben Simmons, unfortunately.
Yeah, but this isn't a thing of the week, worst of the week. This is the worst of the multiple.
That's a good point. It's the worst of the last 5 years. Yeah, that's a great point.
It's been a bit. It's been a
maybe
second.
I'm piling on. So, okay, maybe Chet's face.
Well, you're the
it.
Guy on the island, so you can pile as much as you want.
And nobody's checked in on me. I'm wasting away. I'm going to die. I'm going to die on this Ben Simmons island.
Castaway mode.
Yeah. Oh man, I gotta find a porta potty and build a raft.
You gotta get a Wilson.
Jeez, I should have a Wilson that's sitting beside me here. It's over, man. Even I am. Look, I got the rocks out. SOS. I'm waving any white material I can find. White flags. I'm any boat I see in the distance. I'm going crazy. I got fires going everywhere, and no one wants to. No one. They don't even look this way.
They don't even look this way.
I'm gonna die.
I think it's a lost
Ben
island.
Simmons island. Yeah, it is the lost island. All right, great stuff. I love having Worst of the Week back. You tell us if you're a fan as well. Let's do a little 5-star Friday fun.
One of the first Fridays of the month, we'll read five of your best 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and we're starting with a classic. 24, the year of Capono. The Capono counter is back. Sickos, no. Capono. Jason K has the J, but no dunks. The no dunks Capono collab we need to have. 100K subscribers. Let's get it this year. 2024, the year of Capono. There you go. That's nice to have a regular.
Yeah.
In the reviews. You can get a regular anywhere else, but seeing somebody in the Apple Podcast reviews regular, that's funny.
Can you update your review then?
I don't understand.
Or do you have to make, is he making a new one every time? Or I didn't even know you could do that.
Let us know in the reviews.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's happening either.
Yeah.
This one does say updated February 26th, 2024.
Yeah.
And there are previous updates as well. Also about a once a year. We'll just check in on Jason Capone. And I felt now was the time because I think he wore number 24.
Yeah.
He
definitely
quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
He switched to 72 eventually.
Oh, did he? I don't remember that.
So if we're still doing this podcast in 48 years, that will also be the year of Capono.
There you go. So 24 he wore for a majority of his career. 72, like you said, for the Sixers. And then he did wear number 28 for the Lakers for a year.
Why didn't he wear 24 for the Lakers?
I have no idea.
Yeah. All right, next one comes from Lamonte. Title, the only show that I don't skip ads on. The ads fit the show very well. The Super Bowl doesn't even make commercials this good anymore. Seriously, what's the last Super Bowl commercial you remember everyone talking about? Keep your hands off my mama and keep your hands off my Doritos? Every ad is a classic because every show is a classic. Thanks for letting me spend so much time with you guys for the last 10 years. Can't wait for the next 10.
Awesome.
Thank you, Lamonte. And if any advertisers out there are listening, captive audience.
Yeah, huh? Exactly. Huh? Look at that. We're better than a Super Bowl commercial.
That's great. That's the thing. We never leak our ads early.
That's right.
So you gotta tune in. Can't walk away during a break.
Especially that Monday when you're getting a fresh batch.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Ooh, Monday ads are dropping.
We should have like a what is it? Like a Krispy Kreme sign in here when we're getting a fresh batch of ad reads.
Oh yeah. We can go get them from Shaq. Doesn't Shaq partly own Krispy Kreme?
Yeah, he owns everything.
At least the one like on Ponce.
Yeah. Maybe the first. That's not the first one ever, is it? No.
Maybe it's the first one in Atlanta. I don't
know.
Yeah,
something like that.
I do like the idea of a fresh ad. People see it when the show starts. Whoa! Our next one, the title is Five Buckets, and the author is just a bunch of numbers.
Okay.
The review starts, what is this, five-star city?
Oh, great start. Great start to a review.
That cold open changed my life. Because what is this blank city has been in my head ever since we saw it. Nonetheless, what is this, five-star city? I've been listening to these guys for almost 10 years now. I credit these guys for getting me an MBA when I was 12 years old. Since then, it's been five buckets of nonstop greatness. From daily recaps and emergency pods to wedgies and roast beef, this is truly the GOAT of all podcasts. Five buckets.
That is a banger. That's a five-star review. We should be able to give. We should be able to review reviews. To be able to go into the system.
We should be able to do that.
And talk it out and decide which ones we think. I mean, they're all five stars in our books, but that one, maybe six stars.
That's a good way to actually juice our stats. Us four go into Apple Podcasts and leave a review. It's not like we're banned from doing
That's
it, you
true.
Know?
That's a good point.
This was a great one. I loved what Noah had to say. Speaking of Noah, our next five-star review from Noah Train Peuke. I probably pronounced that wrong. Sorry, Noah, but... Nuts and Chocolates is the title. For several years, this podcast has been my only source of basketball content. I often feel as if I'm inside the Classic Factory, chopping it up with Skeets, Tass, and Trey, or even pushing buttons with JD. In reality, I'm usually driving, cooking, or on the toilet. Nonetheless, this podcast is of the utmost quality and uniqueness. The new Beach Steppin' song makes me grin ear to ear. Five stars all day.
JD, that's a kind compliment to you there for the Nuts and Chocolate.
Yeah.
The newish Beach Steppin' song, which had to replace what was a banger.
Exactly. And it'll be forever as long as we do Beach Steppin' because we have permission in perpetuity.
Wow.
We're never going to get a copyright claim on that song.
All the Nuts and Chocolate we want.
All the Nuts and Chocolate.
Wow. All right.
I got to admit, I was nervous when we switched the Beach Steppin' song.
So was I.
This one, it might be better. I mean, the other one has the nostalgia factor.
This one's got a punch.
Yeah, you get excited.
You want the nut?
There are other lyrics, but I don't think there are actually other lyrics. Those are the main ones to me as well. Our final five-star review comes from Slam Jam Graham, who titles it, "These 10 a.m. shows are tanking my history grade."
Oh, no.
This is a good one. As a hoops-obsessed kid, before I knew the term sicko, I watched the starters on NBA TV every single day to catch up on the West Coast games that were on after my bedtime. Now, years later, the same fellas that grew my love of the basketball excellence and endless drama the NBA provides still keep me going every morning during third period, even at the cost of my AP world grade.
Wow.
Shout out to the GOAT Pod Squad. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome. P.S. Am I the only stream teen? What are your demographics? Because you guys are like my dad's age. Stream teen is good.
It's got to be more stream teens.
Yeah, we got stream teens out there. Let us know.
Yeah.
ASL in the chat.
Yeah, there you go. Great review.
Good stuff.
Sort of feel bad that he's probably getting a brutal history grade here. Or AP World or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, AP World History.
Yeah.
This is history, too.
It is.
Basketball.
It's a good call.
We literally were just naming old Timberwolves players from the 90s. Early 90s. Pre-Garnett. That's history.
We just went through the 2020 Oscar nominations. That's history.
That's history. I talked about a similar block that Anthony Edwards had. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan in 1983. That's real old. That's history, baby.
Yeah, he probably wasn't a teen back then, Jordan, but it was close.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, like 20 maybe. I don't know.
83. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we got some stream teens chatting here.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, multiple. I'm a stream teen until April.
Milena streamer here.
Oh, I love it. And we are old, though, definitely. Especially once Trey hit 40. Then we officially really collectively became old.
Well, Jerome...
Jerome,
we got Esh as well, who's
keeping
the average down, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like a reverse Gordon Hayward to the Thunder. They got him just to bump up the average age. We got Eshua to bring it down.
Yeah.
That's a good point. It's a good point. All right. Thank you for all the reviews. Keep them coming. We'll do this in one of the first Fridays of April as we get close to the start of the playoffs, for sure. Okay, we got to take one more break. Don't worry. These are better than Super Bowl commercials. But when we come back, Trey's got some rapid-fire questions for us. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back here in the Classic Factory. Take a second, hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. We're getting really close to 100,000 subs on YouTube, so please help us out if you haven't subscribed already. Before we wrap up this week, before we go, some rapid-fire fun. TK, you got the questions, we got the answers. Let's do it.
Here's some questions for you, okay. Damian Lillard gifted his Bucks teammates limited edition Dame Time Tissot watches before Milwaukee's game against the Warriors this week. What piece of commemorative jewelry would you give the rest of No Dunks to remember you by, Skeets?
I wanted to go with watches as well, just because we spend so much time together.
That's true.
To be a little different than Damian Lillard, and to give us a little callback, shout out to Jostens. You're getting rings, guys. Woo! Oh, yeah. Some championship state rings. Yeah, I just wanted to say just shout out to Jostens, really.
That'd be really cool, actually. Get like an amethyst in it, you know, for the purple.
Oh, good call. Yeah.
Amethyst. So. Very nice.
That's my birthstone, man.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's up there.
I'm the pukey green one.
Peridot.
Yeah, hate that one.
You too.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
August.
It's not a good one.
Nah.
Right? Yeah, I'd say it's like one of the worst.
I didn't want to say it.
It is. It's not a good color. It's exactly emerald. Now that's nice.
One of them is diamond. That's unfair.
Oh.
Which month
Who's
is
that?
I don't know.
I don't know mine.
Diamond birthstone.
I didn't know that.
April.
Jeez. Okay. That's coming up.
All you April birthdays are so lucky with your birthstones, aren't you? Tass, give us a piece of commemorative jewelry, please.
I'm going away from the jewelry category because I was thinking ring. Mm. I'm going to put the bumper of my car up on a wall somewhere just so we can all remember the day that I was in a bump of an accident with my bumper and I delayed my existence here in the show. But I came through for worst of the week. I don't know. Could I make it a worst of the week?
You missed the Oscars. Think about that. We did NBA Oscars and you missed it.
I know. Yeah. If there was any A block that I wanted to be a part of, it's this one.
Yeah.
It's the Oscars. Absolutely. What a night.
What are we talking here? This is like you're taking it into the body shop or is it just some vanity? Okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, jeez. Here we go again. You had that once. You remember?
Car was gone for months then.
Yeah, that's my. You were on Danielle's the phone every 3 days.
Danielle's car was rear-ended.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took a while. I think the time that they deal with cars now is a lot shorter. That one was long.
That one was very long.
Yes.
I guess you'll find out.
I might miss Monday's show. I might be sitting there waiting
Tass
for my appointment
for
at the dealership.
All right.
TBD.
JD, hook us up.
Yeah, I'm glad actually that how old everybody is getting came up because I'm also going a little off the jewelry. I'm not a jewelry guy, but very, very, very soon, you guys are going to need some reading glasses. Mm. So to remember me by, I'm going to get you a nice pair of Clicks. You know, I wear pretty thick glasses. Yeah. I mean, it's only for reading. It's only for short distances. But you guys are, you think you're invincible, but you're not.
No, I mean, I'm blind as a bat, but yeah. I have no problems reading off my
today
computer. Noel, I have to wear glasses or contacts for driving and obviously watching television movies and stuff like
get
that.
Get ready for those bifocals, man.
You think so?
Yeah.
Bifocals.
I don't know. I'm 100%. Thinking of doing LASIK eye surgery again.
It doesn't do anything.
No, I know, not for
you.
That.
Yeah.
But you got to re-up every now and then, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had LASIK eye surgery done, man, when we were at the Score.
Yeah.
So, like, when's that? Like, over
15 years ago?
Yeah.
But
you definitely you can get touch-ups for life. That's what they tell you. You get
for life.
You literally get your lasers done in your eyes. They get your eyes, and then you walk away, and they say, "Listen,
have you
want to come back?
Have you done it more than once?"
No, but I've called to
you did, yeah.
to deal with the touch-ups to go back to Canada so they can do the touch-ups for free.
You got to go back to the original place.
Yeah. Yes. But it also does depend on like how much they like laser shave off too. Like there's to a certain extent you have to stop doing it. But I think you and I are fine. We could go again.
Yeah, they just said go do an eye test and send it back to us and let us know.
Oh, okay.
So just let us know how your eyes are before you come and lie under a laser again. Yeah.
I got the blade. Wow. It's a laser that does the actual thing, but they actually cut my eye with a...
That is incredible.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It was a Groupon, so that's what I get.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Groupon laser eye surgery.
Jesus.
It's a fucking bargain.
What, we got a deal one eye and the other one they throw in, or what?
It was like $800 off.
Buy
cheap.
One eye, get one free.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. It was down here in Atlanta. Good times.
JD, by the way, I actually really like your glasses because I like the labels on the top of your
eyes. Yeah.
So you don't put them on backwards.
Exactly, which is a thing.
I think they're really cool. Anyways, that was question number one.
Yeah.
Question number two. During a fracas between the Bulls and Jazz this week, somebody dropped their phone. Luckily, Vucci Baby saved the day, swooping in to protect the phone before handing it back to its rightful owner. Fellas, what's the strangest place you've ever left your phone?
The fridge. Took a while to find, too. Not gonna lie. Like, I looked everywhere. I had a lot of things in my hand, was trying to pull something out.
Yep.
It's a really weird thing. Really weird spot to leave it, but I just put it right there on the shelf, and then, obviously, 10, 15 minutes later, where's my phone? You know, check all the common spots. Is it up by the door? Is it in the car? Is it in the bedroom? In the bathroom? Where the hell is this thing? And, I started to really pay. I don't lose things, so they...
Sure.
If I don't have something for like a minute, I'm like freaking out because I generally know where everything is at all times. So that one was a bit of a scare, but yeah, there it was, just cooling down in the fridge.
Too hot. All right, relax. What about you, Tess?
I gotta be honest, I don't have a good one. I'm surprised it's never dropped in the toilet and I left it there. I've got family members who do that. It's cool. You have little. Small back pockets when you go sit on a toilet. There it goes. Just slips out like you just took a poopy. So I thought I had a good answer. I thought I had one. I just thought of when Vucevic picked that one up that slipped out of a coach. I flash back to us when we were shooting free throws in December.
Outside.
It was very cold in Toronto. Because of what we did back then, it was a pick and payoff. You lose, you got to go do something horrible. And that was shooting outside. And your shot, or your, excuse me, your phone slipped out of your pocket.
Yeah, so you were doing the pick and payoff. You were shooting in shorts.
Correct.
In freezing cold weather.
It was so cold.
You had to hit whatever it was out of, I don't know, maybe in a row or whatever, a cumulative number.
I think it was five in a row.
Yeah, and I was trying to distract you. Because I'm all bundled up, and I'm jumping around, and I was doing, I believe, what I called the fish, where I was flopping.
Correct.
And I do remember my phone flying out of my pocket, and then it hit the ground. Yeah. Somehow it didn't smash, because it went quite high, and it was ice-cold cement, but we were okay. But yeah, good memory.
Yeah, that was New Year's Day.
I was hungover as shit.
Too.
It was more painful for us than it was somehow for him.
Why did we do that?
I don't know. The grind, man. The grind was real.
Basketball is life. Whenever it's cold, you got to get outside.
Yeah. But, cold air in your lungs.
That was rough.
That was an iPhone 3. That's how old we are.
That was my first iPhone. That was my first phone. It was my first cell phone.
That's amazing, actually.
Yeah. I didn't have a cell phone for the longest time, and then I had that baby blue like plastic iPhone 3.
iPhone 3 was a good one.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, like in the history of iPhones. Yeah. That was up there. JD, what's the strangest place you've ever left your phone?
I mean, I don't have a great one, but under Hazel was one of them. Like, I was like, Gucci goo, blah, 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 like, you know, cuddling up to her and then could not find my phone. And she was on the couch.
Just stayed there.
She just stayed there. I was looking all over the place for it. And then finally, with my watch, I was able to find it, but it was just like she was literally lying on
top. Did you get scared for a second when you looked it up on your watch that it was inside your dog?
Yeah. She has swallowed a few weird things, but yeah.
Not an iPhone.
Dog ate my phone. It's the new kid's excuse.
It's a matter of time before AirPods, like, before she gets those, because she likes to chew the bits off, like, these things.
Oh, boy.
So keep your...
Have you seen some... dogs for her, though.
Yeah.
There's some great social videos of cats or whoever, whatever animal it is, swallowing AirPods, and the music plays. Yeah. They could be fake. They could be fake videos, but the camera goes to the body of the pet and a song plays.
I love that.
That's good stuff.
Just hear, I got the nuts! I got the chocolate! Coming from my dog? That'd be cool. Can't feed your dog chocolate, though, so be careful.
Is that true? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's true. I don't know about nuts, but...
I think you're fine with nuts.
Yeah.
Chocolate is definitely up there.
Onions, dangerous. Grapes, I think.
Grapes are very dangerous.
Yeah. Tomato, the seeds of tomatoes, there's a huge list.
Right. Okay. Final one.
Earlier this week, LeBron James became the first player in NBA history to score 40,000 regular season points. Ooh. That is a humongous number. Skeets, what's something you've done 40,000 times?
I put some real thought into this, because 40,000 times...
That's a lot.
It's a lot of things. Because, like, you could be like, podcast, and it's like, no, we haven't even come close to 40,000 times. So I went with... Open/close a door. Any door. So fridge even counts. Car door. So I was really trying to break this down yesterday. On an average day, how many times do you think you open a door? I had no idea where to make that number at. I thought 20, and I was like, 20? That's way too low.
Low.
I take my dog out to go pee 3-4 times a day. I'm opening it total 8 times at least there. Right. It's a lot. I think it's a lot more than you think. So I put it at, conservatively, I still thought, like 40.
Yeah, that's right.
Car doors, again, you know, a lot of doors are being opened when you really start to think about it. Bathroom doors, like coming into the factory, I'm going through from my house to your factory.
Six doors, right there.
So many doors.
six doors in, six doors out.
So that's my answer. Opening
that's a great answer. I really want to track how many times I open a door. I think I've closed like our garbage door 40,000 times because Jack didn't tighten the screws tight enough, so it just leaks open. I don't open it 40,000 times, but I got to close it.
Jeez.
Man, 40,000 times with a door. That's a great answer.
In my life, easily. I think it's like in the last 5 years, I've probably opened 40,000 doors.
Got to track it.
Sure. We do have to track it.
Got to. And then you can extrapolate from there.
Get an idea.
I think that's good.
Maybe do a weekday and then do a weekend.
Yeah. Which I think will be a heavier door usage.
It depends what you're up to on the weekend, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You might have a lazy weekend, but like every day, like JD's saying, six doors in, six doors out.
Yeah.
That's right there.
And this is why I never go through a revolving door.
Because you can't count it.
I'm not opening and closing it.
Right.
You're the guy that uses that side door that's always there.
Yes.
For the old school door heads.
Gotta get my numbers up.
Crank it open like I think you should leave. Yeah. That's always fun.
You ever do something 40,000 times?
That's a great question. I would think that I've answered rapid fire questions 40,000 times. Too much. This is a question we've never answered. I did also go span my life and wonder. I did the math.
Yeah.
I've been alive over 15,000 days. So we're talking 40,000. That's 3 times a day. I went also pretty simple. I think I've tied my shoe 15,000 days, 3 times a day. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Tied?
I tie my shoes a lot. Guy got slippery laces that come untied. So that counts as 2. Wow. It counts as 2 ties. Sure. I hate slip-ons. I'm a tie man. I don't like slip-ons. I don't like pushing my heel on the heel of a shoe. I hate that. A shoe needs to be tied. You want integrity in your shoe, you need to tie it. There it goes.
There goes the light. Man, been sort of acting up all week. We've had quite the fun here in the factory today.
Yeah, what a day.
Fantastic. Fender Bender. I spilled coffee all over my computer during a break. Now the light's fritzing out. But JD,
yeah.
What have you done 40,000 times?
Fix the light?
Fix this fucking light.
Yeah. JD has a theory that it's the humidity.
Maybe, I don't
having
know.
An effect on the light.
What do I know?
Things are changing.
I'm not an electrician. When I got into sound editing, I was tasked with scrubbing dialogue. So that means taking out all the pops and clicks and breaths, all of it. For animation, we take out the breaths. So easily 40,000
wow.
edits to just taking out, sometimes these actors, they have a glass of milk and a peanut butter sandwich before. So it's just through the words,
Oh, God.
And when you zoom into the waveform, you see the spikes, right? And you gotta either draw them out or you gotta cut them out. Easily 40,000 vocals I've taken out.
It sounds tedious.
Yeah.
So tedious. It's the fucking worst.
That's why we do this live.
Yeah, I don't have to go back. It's also ruined me because if it's dialogue is not clean, I can hear everything. I can hear every pop, every little. Blah, blah, blah. It's gross. So.
All right, that's it. There it is. Rapid fire, not so rapid, but great questions this week. Fun answers. Hopefully, another classic edition of the drop. This was a wild one.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we've done a lot of shows. Have we ever brought a guy in on the fly?
I don't think so. Obviously, guess, but...
Yeah. But actual
not a full,
host,
redo of the mics and everything.
Oh, yeah.
No, not here in the factory, that's for sure. So that's a first. That's exciting. And it was a lot of fun doing the NBA Oscars as well. Let's hear all your nominees and your winners. Enjoy the actual Oscars this Sunday if you're into that sort of thing. Lots of basketball on, of course. Some marquee games, some nationally televised games. We'll be back on Monday to break them all down. We have a special podcast this weekend, so make sure you subscribe to No Dunks, both on YouTube and Apple and Spotify, so you'll get that in your feed. And if you're a Survivor fan, again, go check out No Buffs, our Survivor recap podcast that we did yesterday. Lots of laughs. Until Monday, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I'm convinced the best picture of the night for me last night was the Minnesota Timberwolves, just period.
Great game.
Anthony Edwards being injured, going to locker room, coming back. Injury, locker room, coming back. Cat's got to have surgery. So much drama.
It's like a story, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm convinced that someone is going to make the best picture of the year. Some sort of NBA picture about the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. You get lots of Minnesota people in it. Lizzo, Joe Mandy, Rick Kamla. Get them all in.
Baller style.
Yeah, what a movie. Kamla, courtside. Come on. Mandy, courtside. Lizzo, performing.
Got it.
That's it. Done.
Embrace the weekend, people.